You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we've got a veritable feast of racing coming up on Monday. There are loads and loads of meetings to go at. We'll try and cover all the action as best we can throughout the course of the day on Racing Radio. Of course, the main meeting comes up at Fairy House where the Irish Grand National is the feature. Hopefully going to point us in the direction of a winner or two on Monday is Paddy Aspall, who joins me on this edition of the podcast. Paddy, how are you?
Oh, good, Sammy. How are you?
Good, yes. Not too bad at all. Enjoying the weather we've been having recently.
Yeah, spot on. It's just a pity we're having to look out the window at it, but it's here, so yeah, we won't complain.
Yeah, definitely so. We'll turn our attention on to Monday's action in just a moment. Paddy's got a couple of races to focus on, and we'll also have a quick spin through the betting ahead of the Irish Grand National. But a fairly low-key weekend of racing this weekend, but we did have some decent graded action on Sunday at Fairy House. And as we record this podcast, we're just on the back of Honeysuckle enhancing her already pretty good record and winning a Grade 1 at Fairy House. It was a mare's novices hurdle, so she was taking on her own sex. They are novices as well, but she looks like she's quite a smart mare for Henry de Bromhead.
Yeah, it was a very, very good effort. I mean, that was ultra-competitive. I mean, that was a race full of the best mares in Ireland at the minute. It's a pity Annie Mack had, I think there was a vaccination irregularity, so predictions would have been absolutely gutted because, you know, the fashion that she won in at Newbury, carrying so much weight, you know, she was going there with every chance. But nonetheless, Honeysuckle, what can we say about her? I mean, these connections, just trying to look and see, I think it's the Anderson is the owner, yeah, or Alexander, Kenneth Alexander. He seems to be getting a real good sort of portfolio of mares together. You very rarely see him with actually any gelding training. He just seems to concentrate on mares, and he's got a real, real good team at the minute. And Honeysuckle winning that today, that was her third success round Fairy House, and I'm pretty sure it was mentioned in commentary that it was Rachel Blackmore's first Irish Grade 1. So a hell of a good performance, and I was trying to get the stats up to see where, I mean, look, Paul Townend is he's away and gone in the Jockeys Championship, but you know she's still got some daylight between her and Davy Russell. She's 10 winners there at Davy Russell.
Right.
You know, I mean, even sort of before Christmas, I was looking at her sort of still in second, a bit closer to Townend at the time, and I just thought, even at that time of year, to be where she was, it was a hell of an achievement. I really didn't expect her to stay.
No, yeah.
You know, but look, she showed she's phenomenal because, you know, she was entrusted with some real good rides at the festival by Harry de Bromhead, and she didn't let him down.
Mm.
You know, she really sort of stepped up to the plate, and anything that was there that was capable of winning, she got the job done. She's an exceptional rider, a fantastic season, and it's just all about staying in one piece, because the thing is, I've seen her get some crashing falls this winter, and I mean, you know, I've seen her ride on the flat, so she can be barely, couldn't be much more than 9 stone, so she's very, very tough and hardy, and, you know, the thing about the difference, there's a big difference in race riding in Ireland compared to over here. They ride a lot tighter over there, so she really got to be tough and hold her own, and the fact that she can do that and ride as many winners as she does. Look, I know she gets good rides, but that happens for a reason now.
Yeah.
She's proven herself. But no, a really good performance. And I mean, look, it was Honeysuckle first, and you know the rest were well beaten. I think Ruby flashed home. I don't think he was second, but I think Ruby was third in the end. Funny mare that, she just really hits a flat spot. I mean, even up on trip today, she missed the second last quite badly, which didn't help, but she done what she did at Cheltenham and flashed home, but it didn't matter because Honeysuckle was away and gone. I mean, Honeysuckle gave the last hurdle a foot, so
yeah,
she showed that there was petrol left in the tank there. But exceptional mare, but she's picked up a real nice prize there, but I was very impressed.
Definitely so, and Interesting you mentioned Rachel Blackmore there as well. When it comes to female jockeys, obviously the headlines have been dominated this season by Bryony Frost, and that is understandable, but she's had a hell of a season, Rachel Blackmore, really, really has. A couple of winners at the festival, as you mentioned, and she's got the number one job at Henry de Bromhead's now. She's the retained rider for the yard, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just looking at her rides, Sally. I mean, her minimum weight is 9.4, which, you know, obviously she does in the maidens and whatnot, but she's had more rides than any other jockey in Ireland this year. She's kicking on for 600 rides.
Wow.
Do you know? I mean, that's exceptional. I mean, the closest behind her is probably, Danny Mullins has had an awful lot of rides. He's had 460.
Right.
But, I mean, that's exceptional, you know. Like, getting on for the good stuff. When does it finish? May the 4th. So, chances are, she is going to reach... she's going to reach 600 rides.
Blimey.
You know, and probably won't be a million miles off. You know, she's going to need a real good run at it, but, you know, it's not impossible that she could get to 100 winners.
Mm.
You know, she's running out of time, but nonetheless, mathematically, it's probably not impossible, but just not phenomenal.
Yeah, another step towards 100 winners, of course, with Honeysuckle on Sunday. Quick look at the Irish Crown National then before we dive into Paddy's main selections for Monday's racing. An ultra-competitive renewal, as you might expect, for the 5 o'clock at Fairy House on Monday. Any second now is the 9-1 favourite at time recording. 9-1 for Burrow Saint. A pair of brown eyes is 10-1, who obviously swerved the Aintree Grand National to come here instead. 2A per me is 11-1, has been ultra progressive in recent times. Jury Duty 12-1, 14-1 for Total Recall, 16s and at bigger prices the rest. No surprise to see Gordon Elliott and William Mullins dominate the entries. I think they've got 19 of the 30 intended runners or something like that. But it's any second now who is favourite at 9-1. This looks a high class renewal of the Irish National though.
Yeah, it certainly is. Gordon Elliott has got a dozen runners. I'm just trying to count up Willie's.
I think he's got 7, Willie Mullins.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
7 runners. Phenomenal. But we've only just got the 30 runners, and there's 3 reserves waiting there if any of them don't run. But, I mean, handicap-wise, 2A per me has got top weight, 11 stone, 7. Now, all the way down to number 10, Mumbai Notorious, he's got 11 stone. So he's not having to give, you know, the main protagonists and the ones you would fancy, he's not having to give mountains away to it here. I really love the No Meat Horse, and I was hoping they were going to maybe even run him in the Gold Cup at Cheltenham, 2A per me, but they've obviously dodged that, and so maybe they've had this in mind all the time. Obviously stable jockeys on board, Sean Flanagan, and I think because it's maybe a little bit distant in the memory now, you know, some of the performances that this horse put up during the winter, I mean, to win the Tri-Town, and then he managed to win the, I don't know what the name of the race was, but it was at Thurles. And Thurles really, really didn't suit him. The track was far too quick. And Sean Flanagan, it was one of the rides of the season because he had to be at his absolute strongest. And if the line had came a stride earlier, he wouldn't have got up. It was a phenomenal ride. But 2A per me, jumps very well. He's very, very tough. He is a dour stare, but he's still got to prove that he's got to stay this far, especially having to carry top weight. But he's got a little bit of class, this horse, and that's probably what's going to be needed in such an ultra-competitive Irish Grand National. But interesting that John Joe is bringing over old Manello Rocco, and he's put Derek O'Connor back on board again tomorrow. Mm. He's a very hard horse to gauge. A hard horse to predict, but on a going day, he is very capable in a sort of race like this. But look, it's wide open. Of all the Mullins runners, Ruby has chosen Burrow Saint, and I mean, it's pointless even trying to sort out through Gordon Elliott's because he would give you the same answer as to all of them. You know, they'll all have bits and pieces of chances and whatnot. But ultra competitive. But although 11 stone 7 is a fair way to carry, Sean Flanagan knows this horse now at the back of his hand, and I just think some of them performances that he put up through the winter, I think I've gone slightly under the radar, and he's quite a good animal, this.
Mm. Yeah, 2A per me then, who of course won the Troy Town, and that form looks pretty decent. Had Magic of Light back in third on that occasion, who obviously went on to finish second to Tiger Roll in the Aintree National. We're going to take a closer look at a couple of races on Monday domestically. There's absolutely loads to go at, a plethora of meetings to get stuck into. We start with a 155 race at Redcar, however. This is a novice stakes over just shy of a mile, 7 furlongs and 219 yards. So we are just short of the mile. And an interesting race to start with, Paddy. Not too many people come on the podcast and pick a novice race to try and find a winner.
No, I just thought it was interesting that William Haggis, who, I'll be honest, he's had a sluggish start so far compared to some of his other Newmarket fellow trainers. But this horse that he brings up, Tomorrow Country, I thought he, just his finishing position at Doncaster probably didn't do him justice, really, because you would have to watch the race to see sort of the promise he showed. I just thought he was a little bit wet behind the ears on the day. He's hit a flat spot. They were run into the race quite nicely, and then probably just right on top of the line. A, probably wasn't good enough, and B, just ran out of gas a little bit. But calmer waters tomorrow. Mr. Haggis is bringing him up to Redcar on an Easter bank holiday Monday. So he's obviously a fair way down the pecking order, this Dubawi colt, but nonetheless, you know, I think he's been very, very well placed here. And the fact that Danny Tudhope, his boss Dave O'Meara, has got one in it there with a chance in Dubuk, who made an encouraging debut not so long back, he has chosen not to ride him and ride Country instead. I mean, he does ride the bulk of the Haggis horses that come north of the border. So, you know, I mean, maybe reading into something there. But the fact is, it's not like Dubuque is making his debut or he hasn't shown anything. He has shown enough that he's capable of winning races. But the fact that he's willing to ride Country, that just sort of ticks the box for me. So I'm hoping that William Haggis and Danny can get off to a winning start at Redcar tomorrow.
An interesting jaunt up north for William Haggis with Country in that 155 race at Redcar. On to Wolverhampton we go, where it's a beverage-themed meeting at Wolverhampton. Most of the races on the card sponsored by Fruit Shoot, one by Pepsi Max and one by Britvic. It's the Fruit Shoot handicap we'll be looking at, the 355 race, which is a handicap over 7 furlongs. Where do you go for a selection here, Paddy?
Yeah, well, I've gone from a novice stakes to a class 6 at Wolverhampton. And this is very, very competitive. Plenty of course regulars. But I've actually gone for a horse I've ridden in the past here called Mansfield for Stella Barkley. Dylan Hogan rode this horse last time, and he really is due a change of look, this horse, because, I mean, I only rode him the once, but he didn't get a great passage through, but he finished off quite nicely. And he has probably gone down in people's notebooks more than once. But Dylan Hogan, who rode him last time, I think it's got to be said that he probably went into a few more notebooks, because he really did flash home and, once again, didn't have the clearest of runs. He still is a maiden on the all-weather. He has had leg trouble in the past, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that he's rated 59, and Dylan, who has been seen to good effect since joining the David Simcock team this year, he's a very, very capable rider. So with his 5 offsetting this horse's mark, you know, he's going to run tomorrow off a mark of 54. He's drawn 7. He will want a bit of pace to aim at, because he is quite a free goer, and 7 furlongs is probably as far as he wants to go, really. So the fact of the matter is, if there's a little bit of pace on, just get him settled from stall 7. But more than anything, probably just get to the point where you would like to see him in a smaller field, just for the chances of having less traffic to come through. But that's all for me, is what this horse wants, is a bit of change of look, a clear passage through. And if Dylan, who will know the horse, having ridden him now last time, he'll know that. And if he can get that bit of luck granted tomorrow, I think Mansfield can finally get off the mark on the all-weather.
Mansfield then gets the nod at Wolverhampton on Bank Holiday Monday. Hopefully you can join us on Racing Radio. It's a very busy day of racing. We begin at 1:30, covering the vast majority of the meetings, of course, on Racing Radio. And Paddy, hopefully giving you a couple of good chances there on Monday. Paddy, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always.
No problems. Enjoy
it.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.